everyone, and welcome to Dimes with Dara on the Joy Slot Podcast, brought to you by irisportsdaily.com. I am Greg Flamong, and that is Dara Mabry. It is March. It is time for March Madness. The women's NCAA bracket has come out. Notre Dame came out with a 2 seed. I think that was fairly surprising to some people. I think everyone was kind of hoping for the 3 seed, and Notre Dame landed in the 2 spot in the Albany bracket. They are going to host 2 NCAA tournament games, or hopefully two NCAA tournament games. Got to win the first one first. But that is what's on deck. We're going to talk about that. We're going to break it all down today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If this is your first time catching our show, please hit the like button. Please hit subscribe. Please hit the notification bell so you know whenever it is we are going live. Links to this show are going to be in the description below this video. And Dara, it is March Madness time. And so that means you are going to want to stay cool as the final moments of the buzzer beaters are coming down. There's going to be so many buzzer beaters. You want to make sure you're cool and fresh. A lot of people will be watching these things at work. You don't want to sweat through your clothes, Dara. You don't want to do that. So you're going to want to head over to ESQ Clothing to get your custom bamboo dress shirt from Ga Wang, who founded ESQ Clothing. You've seen ESQ on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches. They have over a decade of making the best custom clothing available to specs. Get your ESQ outfit ready to go. Get your ESQ bamboo dress shirt, which is 3 degrees cooler than cotton. So that's what you want to be wearing as you sweat out these games in the office. From a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt or bomber jacket, or the perfect tuxedo for wedding season, check out Ga's amazing work at esqclothing.com. Book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. There's no better time to get the ESQ bamboo dress shirt. All right, Dara. 2 seed for Notre Dame in the Albany bracket. Let's pull up the bracket. And when we do that, I want you to kind of break down how you think Notre Dame came out here. A lot of people noticed they're on South Carolina's end of the bracket, which is tough, right? They look pretty good. They look pretty good. Okay. But you texted me. You said you liked where they stand in the bracket. So tell me you think about this. What do you think about getting the 2 seed and then how they look to set up on a nice little tournament run here?
Yeah. I think this is great. Start off Kent State. I think that should be a win. I think we should honestly handle business all the way through at home. That Ole Miss Marquette game is going to be a really good game. Those are two really good teams. And the Marquette coach, if Marquette were to get the win, the Marquette coach, Megan Duffy, is a Notre Dame women's basketball alum. So that would be really interesting. Her coaching with Neil. I don't know if coaching against Neil. I don't know if they ever came across each other. I don't know their years in college, if they played together. But that would be really cool. Ole Miss is a really good team. Coach Yeo is a really good coach. They're fast, athletic. They play downhill. They have some players on their team that have gotten a taste of the ACC, so that would be a really good matchup. If I had to pick one, just based off of what I've seen from this year, I think Ole Miss would get that win. And then if we go up further into the bracket of teams that we could potentially face, Oregon State is really good, and so is Nebraska. So is Texas A&M. Joni Taylor is a really good coach. I know that they're feeling really good because this is the start of something special for her at Texas A&M. We played Oregon State in a Florida tournament, I think 2 years ago, my senior year, and we blew a 22-point lead, ended up winning the game by 1 point. So we've gotten a taste of Oregon State. They shoot a lot of threes. They're really good. And then we go up further into the bracket. Indiana, obviously a really good team. Oklahoma, we've seen. And Florida Gulf Coast always gets that 12 seed, that spot, and they're really good. That 5-12 is going to be a really good game. And then obviously at the top, can't miss South Carolina sitting right there at number one. But here's my take on it. I think we can go all the way because of how we've been playing recently. Now, if you asked me 6 weeks ago what you think, I would say maybe we would stop earlier on. but I am confident that we can beat South Carolina. If you think about how we've been playing, and then if you take a look at our last 4 weeks compared to South Carolina's last 4 weeks, people have come close to beating South Carolina. And I think at one point in the year, everyone was like, nobody is beating them. Yeah. They were unstoppable at one point. And then I think other teams may have started to gel a little bit more. It's not that South Carolina is not playing as well. They're really freaking good. Uh-huh. But I think the way that we've been playing recently, obviously the goal is to win a national championship, but I think that we could handle South Carolina.
I mean, I think it would be great if, like, somehow Camila Cordosa and then they tried to, like, fight some teams before again, like they just did at the end of their last game, right? Like, because it's especially with Kylie Watson being out, right? So she announced yesterday she tore ACL. She's out for the rest of the year, which is obviously terrible for her. That's what we suspected. So that doesn't come to any surprise. But that just kind of confirms it. Notre Dame is now down to 6 players. And like Camila Cordosa was a tough matchup for them anyway. And now you're down Kylie. That's tough, right? Like that's just one of those, please have a bad game type of situations, right? Like that's just something that would be baked in. Of course, that's looking way far ahead. Let me ask you this though. Like, do you think that let's just assume, like personally, I don't think North Carolina can give South Carolina the problems.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't think they can.
Agreed. Okay. They've lost their last 4, I think.
Yeah. Also. Yeah. Yeah. And they had like a tough out in the ACC tournament as well, just like very the way tough. That went. Yeah. Do either Oklahoma have or Indiana have the juice, something in there to beat South Carolina, to give them an upset?
I think it would be IU.
Okay.
IU plays a really fast game and they shoot threes. More of like a volume game. Like they're going to run, they're going to push, and they play really hard on defense.
Yeah.
I don't know if South Carolina's athleticism, though, would be something that they would be able to handle. Just in terms of being able to guard in South Carolina, getting downhill and then finishing at the rim. I don't know if that's something that IU would be able to handle, but I think if someone up here in this bracket that we're looking at, it would be IU.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I don't think Michigan State, no, North Carolina, no, and definitely not the rest of them. I think if someone was going to give them problems up there, it would be IU. And like, I can't even, it almost feels wrong saying that like no one will beat them because of the surprises that not only what we've seen and what we're going to see, like, March is an insane month. The amount of upsets that happen, the buzzer beaters, players having breakout games in March, like really anything could happen. I don't suspect South Carolina to pull off like a major upset, but like I wouldn't be that surprised if a 4 seed beat them.
Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit before about Notre Dame getting that 2 seed. And we were discussing how it was kind of between Notre Dame and LSU for that last 2 seed spot. Notre Dame gets the nod. They had more ranked wins than LSU did, and LSU had a couple unranked losses, which was kind of dropped them down there. Did you expect that? Was it a surprise to you personally? Did you think they were going to be the 3 and have you know, I think they still would have got to host, I believe, but you know, what did you think?
I was like, oh my gosh, I thought we were locked at a 3.
Yeah.
I think everyone was just happy that we were going to host. Cause at first, like a couple weeks ago, it was on the fence if we were going to host or not. And then we were like, okay, we won the ACC tournament. We're definitely going to host. And then they gave us the 2 seed, which is perfect. The higher, the better. So I was a little surprised, but at the end of the day, when you break it down, we deserved the 2 seed. We didn't have unranked losses. And this is take my personal love for Notre Dame out of it. Notre Dame deserved the 2 seed over LSU. No unranked losses. And I think we had more ranked wins. And I don't know what the stat is right now. You can't quote me on it. I don't know if the ACC, I think ACC and SEC bring 8 or 9 each. But I think at one point the ACC had more ranked teams than the SEC did. So that is out of LSU's control, but maybe hurt them down the stretch. So yeah, I think we, at the end of the day, absolutely deserve that two spot because no unranked losses, which really helped us. And that's also, if you think about it, the power of the schedule at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
When you have a good schedule, a lot of ranked opponents early on, it helps you later on.
And you got that UConn win, right? Like, this is when you look at it this time of year when it's like, hey, there you go. That's why you play a Big East team in the middle of your ACC slate, right? You play a team like that, you win.
Exactly.
There you go. It helps you with the seeding. I guess credit to the committee for not jamming up Notre Dame on the injury stuff, right?
Yes.
Because they could have factored that in, right? And you mentioned before, like, they didn't do it with Virginia Tech either, losing Liz Kittley. So they just kind of looked at their body of work and they said, this is where you deserve to be. Didn't factor in injuries.
Well, if you think about it, last year too, without Olivia and me, we still made it to the Sweet 16.
Right.
Which, you know, you can't consider stuff, but, you know, maybe in the back of the committee's mind, we won the ACC with six people in the final game. Mm-hmm. Last year, two starting guards are out, make it to the Sweet 16. And then in past history with our program, we've won national championships with seven people available.
Fair analysis. Good analysis by you on that. So, it makes sense that they would. You know, just say, okay, like, we've seen it happen before. They have their big three, right? I think it would have been different if one of Maddie, Sony, or Hannah were out, but that is not the case.
Yeah.
So you mentioned how Notre Dame is playing. I guess, where do you just kind of, you know, put on the most objective hat you can for this?
Okay? Mm-hmm.
The six, going with six. Is it in there? Is it in there for them? I just kind of worry, like, man, that's like anyone gets in foul trouble and you're like in a real bad way.
Right. That's concerning, obviously.
Foul trouble.
But considering, while being objective and understanding that as a player, when you have no other choice and like this is it, there's like an adrenaline, not saying like, oh, it's March and if you lose, you're done. Like, I'm saying, like we have six people. You can't afford to screw up. You can't afford to pull any mental mistakes, to do something stupid. It's a different type of adrenaline and a different kind of rush that almost helps you to focus and play even better because you're playing like you have nothing to lose. And it's a different type when you put five players on the court with that amount of talent that are all playing like that. Like, it's just shit. It's just us.
Yeah.
This is all we have. We don't have eight people. It actually works in your favor, surprisingly. It takes the psychological aspects of it being March, all the pressure, that kind of thing. It takes it out of it. So I think that If you run into a team, I think it's most concerning when you run into a team with a dominant post player. That's where it's most concerning, having six people, because in the back of their mind, they might be like, well, I can't foul. And then you already know the opposing coach is going to say, throw it to her every single time.
Right.
They're not deep. Make her guard. And her might be somebody that maybe you could hide in the defense. You can't hide anymore because now there's six people. You know, so I think that's where realistically with my objective hat on, that's where it's going to cause problems is when you run into a dominant post player, unless we could go zone, but you can.
And Notre Dame's been very effective at that. So that's good. Right. Like, they have a lot of kind of like a really good track record of going zone at kind of key points, which is interesting in terms of the chess match of when Neil decides to go zone and when she decides to, like, you know, stay with man. She's really pushed the right buttons there. So credit to her for that. How does the winning the ACC tournament factor into the team's mindset? There are two different ways you could look at it. You could look at it like, I think winning the ACC tournament is something that like, hey, it's a successful season, right? We won the NCAA ACC tournament. It's a notch on the belt, right? Like, it's something you get, like, you probably get a ring for that, right? Like, you get something now. You have accomplished a tangible thing within your season, successful season. And so therefore you could say, like, hey, the rest of this is kind of house money. We're playing with house money. We've already done something this year. Let's go play loose. Or you could say, hey, like, you know, it's we already won something. Maybe we're not grinding as hard or whatever. It's easier to just kind of say, like, hey, we only have six or whatever. But I don't think that'll be the case. I'm just saying it's possible.
Yeah.
But how does the team kind of react to, you know, having already accomplished such a big thing with this kind of looming ahead?
It's different because on a team like Notre Dame, the standard of excellence is so different. So when I know Niel's probably telling them, like, yes, we celebrate, you get your flowers for the ACC tournament, but now it's another business trip. It fuels you because when you play in the ACC, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to win. It's hard to win at home, and it's even harder to win on the road, and even harder to win in March. So when you play in a conference like that and you win the ACC, it's a different type of feel because it's, yes, you're competing with the rest of the country in other ways, but in the conference itself, it's so competitive from top to bottom. So they feel great. It's going to carry them through March. It's going to fuel them. And I'm not just saying that because I'm supposed to get on here and say that. That's not, like, I've been in the program before. I've been a part of this before. So this is me using my personal knowledge saying, like, explaining the type of feeling that you have. Like,
yeah.
And they did that over the last 4 weeks. So they beat, I don't know who it was. They lost. They're like, damn. They regroup. They beat Virginia Tech. And now they're like, oh, okay, we beat Virginia Tech when nobody had us winning that game. Beat Louisville. Beat NC State. And then carried it all the way through the ACC tournament. Like, what makes anyone think that they're going to stop there? Mm-hmm. You know, like, now they probably have their hats on. Like, oh, yeah, we really can win this thing. And you can tell, like Maddie Westfeld is playing with a confidence that I've never seen her play with before. And we have Hannah Hidalgo in our point guard and Sonia, who's showing emotion. Even all the times I played with Sonia, she's never showed that much emotion. Granted, yeah. she's in a position where she has to do a lot more as a leader this year, but she showed emotion. Like, other people are coming out of their shell. Nat Marshall's playing the best basketball that she's played. And then Kylie goes down. So the motivation factor is definitely there. It's definitely there. And I'm really excited to see what they're going to do.
And it's good because they have that confidence. And then it was validated by the fact that they won the tournament. You know, right. like that yeah. is just like reinforcing. It's very reinforcing for them. Yeah. So that's good. Anything else on the bracket at large that kind of jumped out to you? Someone, some team, like, looks like they're well set up. Who did you?
Yeah.
Who were you looking at?
I saw a lot of controversy on Twitter about, I think it's the Albany on top, or is it Portland? Yeah, it's Albany Regional 2. I saw a lot of people saying, like, the NCAA wanted to make it balanced and fair. And then I think someone tweeted, like, oh, the committee chose violence when they made this region because of how many good teams could face each other early on. Like LSU Louisville in the second round.
Yeah.
Potentially. I know Middle Tennessee beat Louisville last time. But Colorado could face somebody really good early on.
Colorado, a team that beat LSU earlier this year.
Right. Yeah. And Creighton's a really good team. That last bracket down there, UCLA, Creighton, UNLV, California Baptist, that's a good bracket. Like, all of these are really good and competitive up here. I looked at our bracket and I was like, I love our bracket. I like our chances. I really like it. I looked at this bracket like, goodness, like, these are going to be like some more exciting games up in this bracket.
Yeah.
So that's that. That side of the bracket really did. That's one thing that stood out to me a lot.
What's your take on the whole, we haven't talked about this, like, even offline, really. I don't know why. What's your take on the whole, like, Caitlin Clark hysteria, I guess, is a way to put it? I mean, I don't want it to sound pejorative on her part because she's just playing.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much that goes around her. Like, Holly Rowe is tweeting out, like, she requested to be taken off some assignment and, like, only wants to cover Iowa, which, like, she's going to be, like, the Iowa beat reporter.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on. She's basically – so in the NBA, there's a thing where it's, like, LeBron especially, like, he has a beat guy, right?
Yeah.
And with, like, ESPN, like, just – ESPN guy just covers LeBron. I think it was Brian Windhorst for a bit, and then it was Dave McMenamin for a bit as well. But so – she's going to just basically cover Iowa. Like, she's following Iowa around the tournament. And a lot of people were like, maybe she should have just done it and not tweeted it out. Cause I feel like Caitlin Clark is like a huge lightning rod for discussion, just period. I guess, what is your take on that as a media personality, right? Like, you're in media, right? You're doing color commentary and things of that nature. What's your take there?
I like it. I can't Holly Rowe being as good as she is at what she does, and then all the stories that come out of Caitlin Clark in Iowa, and what they've done, and just what she's done for women's basketball. I think Holly is a great person. She's a really good storyteller. She's really good at chatting with you. I've chatted with her, obviously, before games before. She's great at capturing the really good moments. And I think Iowa has great moments, like, even outside of Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Kate, the other guard on the team, she's always, like, being seen holding a little kid after the games.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a really – they have really good stories. So if they want to send one reporter to cover that, it might work – in the broadcast's favor, because there'll be consistency in it, instead of having a different sideline reporter, because that's what Holly is, sideline. She's not color commentating or the play-by-play, so she's more of, like, inside scoop storytelling. So if she's following them around, that might be kind of cool. And I think it's a a perfect person to do it. I think everyone else is, you know, deserves Holly's storytelling abilities, but I like that. I like that idea. I can't say I'm mad at it.
I mean, I definitely like it. In terms of just, like, you got it to look, Caitlin Clark is a show. You got to treat her like a show. It just, you just do, right? And look, it's good for the women's game. And even the stuff with, like, LSU and South Carolina, right?
Oof.
Like, that's great for women's basketball, period, right?
Yeah.
Look, do we need people coming out of the stands? We don't need that. Right. No one needs that. Like, that's not something that is necessary. Okay. Yeah. Don't need that. But there have been, in men's basketball, there have been situations where teams just don't like each other and they go at it and they do things like those two teams did. Right. And I don't think that, like, you know, Dawn Staley apologized afterwards and, you know, classy or whatever. And then Kim Mulkey said, should have gone after Angel Reese, right? Like, to me, that stuff, like, I kind of grew up on that stuff with, like, the Pistons and, you know, like, the Lakers and the Kings, right? Like, I grew up on that just kind of fisticuffs type. There were always some problems, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to see people fighting, but at the same time, I don't hate it, right? Look, they're competitive athletes. They're competitors. They're getting after it. It's just like, Camila Cardoso, like, she's getting her hair pulled. Angel Reese is getting fouled. Like, she's getting bodied all over the place. Camila Cardoso is getting bodied. And Cardoso only responded when it was, like, the Fonte Johnson doing something to her teammate. And it's like, oh, I'm going to stick up for my teammate, runs over. I don't know if she meant to flatten her like that. But, hey, it is what it is. And so I just think it's how competitive sports is very often. And so I'm all for it. I think it's great. And I think it's good for just the product and the conversation And I just think, like we've talked about before, like women's basketball is definitely going through something right now. And it's great to see. And it's great to be a part of. It's not just great to see from like a, like there's, to me, there's no, the media is forcing this down our throats. Like there are legitimately great teams, great stories, great players, like Hannah Hidalgo, Juju Watkins. Like Hannah Hidalgo leads her team to a 2 seed, right? With so many injuries. Juju Watkins leads her team to a 1 seed at USC, right? Both freshmen, right? And when have we ever seen this type of freshman? Like they're so good. And they're such great players leading their teams to legitimately good seasons, right? Like leading legitimately good teams to great seasons. I think it's awesome, right? Caitlin Clark, she's unbelievable. Caitlin Clark's unbelievable. That's the part that I think gets kind of lost. It's like she's not just hype. Like she, like the way they, like the shots that she was hitting to win the Big Ten tournament were just bombs. She's making bombs from all over the court. So I think it's great, Dara. Do you have any take on that before we move on?
No, I think it's great. I think that because now people are really diving into women's basketball, like it's getting the attention. Like there's still work that needs to be done, but it's now getting more attention that it deserves. Mm-hmm. I think people like do make a really big deal out of things. Like obviously when they see someone getting their hair pulled, like it's more of a spectacle than it would be like in the men's game. Like if you know, someone on the Pistons elbowed somebody on the Knicks, like square in the face, it probably wouldn't be blasted everywhere like that. Mm-hmm. But if it's media attention and people are watching it, like, and it's growing the game, then okay, so be it. But I think people, like, we play the game too. We play the game just like men do. We have the emotion and we put in the physical exhaustion and the hours and the sacrifice just like men do. So I think that people sometimes are surprised when someone gets their hair pulled or someone gets punched in the face or runs out of the crowd. I've personally never seen that before. I think it's great. Caitlin Clark is phenomenal. She deserves all the media attention that she's going to get, all the accolades. And I think it's growing in the right direction. And I'm really excited. I mean, every year, even since I've been playing and my sisters have been playing, the attention that it's gotten has continued to rise up. And we deserve it. As women, we definitely deserve it. We're giving our fans that come out a great show, a great time, awesome experiences. And it's very rewarding to see what society has done regarding women's sports.
And I think deserve is a word. I think earned is a word as well.
Yeah.
I think it's been earned through the play, the level of play. I think it is earned eyeballs on the sport, and it's good stuff. It's really good. We should wrap up the show with talking about the men's basketball team. I actually got a question on our Hit and Hustle show. Someone wanted us to they watched the show. They watched Dimes with Dara. And they asked, am I going to start a men's basketball show, and who would I want on it? And I said, Dara Mabry. Like, Dara covers the team. Like, why wouldn't I have Dara talk about the men's team, right? You cover them. You're on campus. So what is your – finished 12-17. They ended up winning 5 of 6, won the first-round game in the ACC tournament. Look, they were like a 2-win team. Or whatever, 3-win team in conference, and they ended up with 12. So, or with 12 total victories and seven conference victories. So, where do you come out on the Micah Shrewsbury era? I guess the start of it. What did you see from them? What are your kind of, moments of hope? Where like some good signs going forward from him?
Yeah, From top to bottom, their whole staff is great. Off the court, phenomenal people. The culture of the program is, I mean, I'm not in the program, but from what I've seen and being around them a lot in the building, the culture of the program is in great hands. And that's the start of something really special, is good culture. A lot of times, so many people are quick to criticize players, stats, win losses. If the foundation is healthy and solid, then that program is in great hands, and it's going to continue to get better. He can coach. Micah Shrewsbury can coach. His staff is really great too. They can all coach. They have great experience. They know the game well. And they showed promising signs. I mean, we can talk all day about Marcus Burton. He's a very promising point guard. And he wouldn't just start and be this successful at Notre Dame. Like he would go to another Power Five and be that successful too. And I think if Coach Shrews can benefit from the transfer portal and get I think maybe a more dominant post presence in there. I personally like the upside of Kerry Booth a lot. But maybe not in the paint all the time. I like moving him in and out and then maybe throw in a post player. Tay Davis is really good too. Really, really good upside. He has a young team, and his son, Logan Imes, all of them have a lot of potential. They're still young though. And it's his first year. I think he could benefit from the transfer portal in getting more dominant players around Marcus Burton. That way the opposing scouting reports can open up more and not so heavily focus on Marcus Burton and our offense ending in a ball screen. Because that down the stretch can become easier to guard. But I think if you go back, the foundation of the program is in really good hands, and I think they're going to get better. They showed promising signs. They had a couple of good wins. They had a couple of really good upsets. And that's promising for a coach that entered a program that I think two people returned. And then he already had to work around the transfer portal. So he can do it, and he's going to do it. He has the support system, and I'm excited for them because he can coach, and the players seem to love him from what I've seen. So if you have that, it'll take you a long way.
I think he inherited a program that had kind of forgotten how to win, you know, and at the end that they've been doing some good stuff, but like the shooting is the shooting, right? It is what it is. They were doing good stuff defensively. They were doing good stuff rebounding, right? They were doing a lot of good things. But they didn't know how to win anymore. And at the end of the season, they were finally able to like, hey, this is how we win games. This is how you win games. This is how a good program actually operates, right? Yeah. And that goes to culture, and that goes to the players buying into their coach, their teammates, and the program itself. And so that's a huge deal. I think the Marcus Burton thing is a revelation, you know, thank goodness for him. He just really carried them throughout the year. He's another guy with Hannah where it's like, he's not small. Like Hannah is small, but she's not small for the women's game. I feel like, whereas Marcus Burton is small and he was able to kind of hang in there and stick through. So that's great job by him. So that's really good stuff. So we're going to be keeping track of that maybe next year, Dara. We're going to be sticking through the men's team. We're going to be here with everyone through the NCAA tournament for the ladies. We're going to be keeping really good track of that. So, you're going to want to stay tuned with us, hit the like button, hit subscribe, hit the notification bell. So whatever it is, we are going live. We are going to plan some live shows for after the NCAA tournament games, probably not Saturday. In fact, definitely not Saturday. Cause I'm busy with kids, and you. I think you're flying all over the place. You're a jet setter. You're all over the place. So, but we're gonna be doing some shows, giving instant reaction to these things. So you want to stay tuned in. Thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon, Dara. What are we gonna do?
Keep getting them buckets.